Our next speaker is the Deputy Mayor and Chief Neighborhood Development Officer for the City of Chicago. There are two quick things that we would like you to know about her. Number one, she is a frequent attendee at City Club of Chicago events, for which we are enormously grateful. And she and Mayor Emanuel encouraged their leadership team to speak at the City Club of Chicago, and we're enormously grateful for that. So without any further introductions, ladies and gentlemen, let's give a big round of welcome to Andrea Zopp.
Thank you. I am thrilled to be here today. I have to do a lot of things for the mayor, and I don't always love all of them. But I love this because Anna is amazing, and she is a dear friend, and it is really my privilege to introduce her. And she is really what our country is about, what it means when we talk about creating opportunity and seeing opportunity to live. She comes from downstate Illinois. She comes from a hard working class family. She was the first in her family to go to college at the University of Illinois. And she has taken that great footing from her parents, who taught her about hard work, but who also taught her about caring about other people and about recognizing the power of what you can do in the public sector. She worked and supported and led the campaign for Senator Dick Durbin, his second reelection campaign. She was the deputy director, senior advisor, for Mayor Rahm Emanuel's, our boss's, reelection campaign, and the deputy director of the Illinois Senate Democratic Victory Fund. And then she came to the mayor's office, did a few little things there, and became, just a few, and became the second woman, just the second woman, and the first Latina in the history of the mayor's office to run the mayor's legislative council and government affairs group, which, for those of you who work at City Hall or work with government know is incredibly important to the mayor in leading his agenda. And she did an incredible amount of work there. But since that time, in January of this year, on my birthday, Anna was sworn in as the clerk of the circuit court. The city clerk of Chicago. I'm really messing up even what you do. The city clerk of Chicago. And in that role, not even a year yet, she's already made great changes in how the city provides services to our citizens, but also shown true leadership on two critical issues. First, she stepped up as a leader in Chicago's One Chicago campaign, which has been our effort to fight back on the hatred and division and horrific policies of the Trump administration when it comes to immigrants, and to fight for our continued standing in this city as a welcoming city to all people. Anna has been the face of that campaign. She has been a leader. She has been out and about in the city. And it is critically important for us and to the mayor for us to remember who we are as citizens of Chicago. And secondly, she has led the fight, as you're going to hear, and created for the Muni ID program, which is creating IDs for the immigrant, for undocumented immigrants. So they have that critical piece of paper that we have, that so many of us have, that we know how important it is, that ID that opens so many doors. And Anna is making that happen. She is a leader. Oh, and by the way, and here's the thing that will blow you all away. All that, she's done all that, and she's 32. I don't remember 32. So with that, it is truly my pleasure to welcome and to introduce our city clerk, Anna Valencia.
Thank you so much. I am truly honored and humbled to be here. I was saying to Jay, I'm sorry we were a little noisy, rowdy, and took a while to get to our seats, but it feels like a family reunion. I see so many familiar faces that have been with me at the beginning of my career in Chicago and even before then. Thank you, Deputy Mayor Andy Zopp, for that kind introduction. You're a strong female leader that I look up to and an incredible advocate for our communities and neighborhoods. We are so lucky to have you as our Deputy Mayor. And addition to the mayor's office, and you're an incredible asset to the mayor's team. Thank you. Can we give her a round of applause again? I'd also like to say thank you to my senior team at the clerk's office who are here today, and to thank them for their dedication to public service. It's never just one person here. It takes a whole team to get things done for the people of Chicago. Can you please stand for a moment to be recognized? They hate that. I'd also like to thank my mom, Debbie, who is here today. Unfortunately, my father is working today and couldn't be here, but I know he'll be watching the video later and showing half of Granite City. And to my husband, Riyad Kazmi, my rock, and who has been by my side on this journey and who said yes to this crazy journey. Thank you for being my partner next to me, working together. I love you. And to all the elected officials here today, I'm proud of my strong working relationship with city council members and other elected officials here today as well. And I look forward to working with each and every one of you in the months ahead. I'd also like to thank City Club for inviting me and providing such a warm welcome. I'm honored that so many of you took time out of your busy schedules today to hear from a girl who still gets card at every bar she tries to get into. Well, I'm actually 32, and although this is my first time holding public office, I've been involved in politics and public service my whole life. Just ask Mrs. Ames or my graduating class from Granite City High School 2003. So before I tell you a little bit about my plans for the city clerk's office, I'd like to tell you a little bit more about my background and how I got here today. In Granite City, Illinois, where I'm from, I'm known as Debbie and Joe Valencia's daughter, and I wear that as a badge of honor. Granite City is a town of about 30,000, once home to three steel mills, now sadly idling at one. I'm the daughter of a union painter who would finish his 9-to-5 job only to start on a side job for a little extra money. At 60, he still does this with much protest from his daughters. But all of this hard work isn't about him. It was always about family. It was to send us on a vacation he couldn't take, or to have enough money to pay for Christmas presents, or to pay for something his children might need, like braces on their teeth. He and my mother taught me the importance of hard work and always putting your family first. And they are the reason I'm here, standing here today. My mother worked for a nonprofit for 20 years, writing grants for school programs like Teen Reach. And volunteering as a community leader, encouraging people to take pride in their communities. After state budget cuts and the first budget impasse, she was told she no longer had a job, she didn't have a college degree, and therefore was one of the very first to go. But she didn't give up and she didn't get better. She just tried to figure out how she could continue to contribute to her community. My parents have always been resourceful and resilient. My mother was diagnosed with breast cancer when I was in college, yet she was more worried about my tuition than her own health care. There were years during the recession my father didn't work. He now battles kidney disease and does dialysis 4 times a day, yet still managed to work a full-time job and never once complains, never once. And he's proud of his work. When I took my husband to visit for the very first time, he drove him around Granite City, showing him the stripes on the street he painted. True story. 2 hours. He's proud because it's his hard work and he does it well. He's also proud because his work makes our community better. This is the work ethic I'm grateful my parents instilled in me. My father ran our Mexican Club Christmas Basket Charity Program for over 30 years, even when our family members were recipients of those baskets at times. My mother helped women with spouses who suffered from substance abuse, encouraging and praying with them. My parents showed their 3 children how to have compassion for others, kept us grounded in our faith, and always taught us to treat others the way we wanted to be treated. That seems like a simple lesson, but it's missing in our politics today. I carry all of their lessons into my public service. I was the first in my family to graduate college, University of Illinois, Champaign-Urbana. Go Illini! Woo! And I'm the first in my family to hold public office, something I can assure you my parents never imagined, but they always imagined I would do something special. All of this is due to the love and encouragement Joe and Debbie Valencia invested in me. And as I embark on my new role as a public official, it's people like Joe and Debbie Valencia I keep in mind. It's the hardworking families that live paycheck to paycheck. And Chicago isn't much different than Granite City in that way. There are thousands of parents in our city, just like Joe and Debbie, that want the same thing for their children. They want access to affordable health care that won't cripple them with debt or when someone gets sick or has a medical emergency. They want access to high-quality education for their children. They want to have opportunities and chances for their children to have a better life than they had. And I want government to be their ally and never their enemy. I want to build ladders and bridges instead of walls and divisions. I want to create policies from the bottom up and not the top down. I want to make policy that puts people first. I want to make sure there are more people like Joe and Debbie Valencia at the table, their voices heard, and their concerns addressed. So what does this all mean for the city clerk's office? I know you're wondering. First, it means making sure city services are open and available to all Chicagoans, no matter who they are or where they happen to live. It means meeting people where they already are and exploring opportunities to connect with people in their communities and neighborhoods. Not everyone can take time from work to travel downtown, nor should they have to. Using the new technology at our disposal, we ought to make city government more open and accessible, whether you're a young person, a working family, or senior citizen. And we need to make government simpler and less confusing for everyone. That's why we are simplifying how we classify vehicles to make the rules for stickers easier to understand. It's why we are exploring expanding access to service for veterans and those with disabilities to make it easier to access city services and simpler to obtain the assistance many Chicagoans need. Second, we are working to help all Chicagoans, let me say this again, all Chicagoans become full partners in our community through the Municipal ID program. Through the Municipal ID program, all Chicagoans will have the opportunity to get a government-issued identification that will create unprecedented access to many of the things that make our city so great. I'm proud that Mayor Emanuel put me in charge of creating a Municipal ID, and we are well on our way to piloting the program at the end of this year. It will provide an important access for thousands of Chicagoans with an arrest record or who have served their time. It will empower those members of our community who are not comfortable with narrow categories using by existing IDs to declare their gender. It will open the opportunity and door for tens of thousands of undocumented residents in our city, many who have lived, worked, and raised their family here for decades. And it will be something all Chicagoans will want to have in their wallets to show they are Chicago proud. Over the past several months, I've had the opportunity to speak with many people whose lives will impact the card. I heard from a young mother who was denied formula for her baby because her WIC card wasn't enough to prove identity. I heard from another young woman who was turned away from a food pantry because she did not have a government valid ID. I heard from a man recently released from prison who was desperate to get an ID for a fresh start. I heard from a young man who needed an ID to get his first summer job. And I heard from a survivor of domestic violence who couldn't get a government ID because her abuser destroyed all of her documents. In our many conversations with advocates and community members, we heard time and time again, just don't make another card for my wallet. Or it shouldn't be just a card or a stigma card for vulnerable populations. Well, I heard you and I listened. And this is why we are working with museums and cultural institutions across our city who has agreed to provide discounts tied to Municipal ID. I know Shed's here. Many chambers of commerce, local businesses, and sports organizations have shown interest in partnering with us to honor and reward customers who carry the new ID. And it will also serve as a library card and a venture card for the use of our CT, the first card in the country to do so. We are determined that this will be much more than just an ID card. It will be a key to unlock everything our great city has to offer. Finally, we want to make it easier and attractive for more people to engage with their city government. Growing up, I didn't even know that a job in government or this position in government was an option. I want to change that for young people. I often say, you can't be what you can't see. It was so true for me, and I know it's so true for our young people. And I want to show them that they have a place here in their city government. We know that historically, young people are the least likely to vote. Yet on issues from education to the economy and everything between, young people may have the most at stake. We will need to encourage them to get involved in shaping their own futures, to learn that their voice is important and matters. Some of you here might know Connie Lindsay. She's a leading woman I admire at Northern Trust. I know you've heard her speak. And she says, inclusion means you get in the room, but true equity is when your voice and your vote carry the same weight. I want Chicago's young people to learn how their city government works and how they can make real change for their communities through the political process. That's why my office is undertaking an effort to educate Chicago's young people about city government. We will establish a model city council program to bring students into the chambers, their house, the people's house, to explore what it means to be an alderman, build coalitions, to get legislation passed, and even be the city clerk for a day. And we will bring groups of young people to City Hall on a regular basis so they can see their government in action and learn how to make their voices heard. We are currently working with the Chicago Public Schools to help expand their civic engagement and municipal government curriculum so this can become part of every child's education. And we are partnering with the private sector to create this program at no cost to the taxpayers. We are establishing a civic engagement advisory council focused on getting more young people involved in their government, working with organizations like Mikvah Challenge, My Block, My Hood, My City, principals, teachers, youth, the faith community, private sector. This is true collaboration. This is policy and curriculum being built from the bottom up and not the top down. We don't want to bring in just students who already know they're passionate about government, but the students who may not have a 4.0 because they're working a part-time job, taking care of siblings, and who, just like me, didn't even know government was an option. In short, I want people like Joe and Debbie Valencia and their children to have full access to city government, to get the services they need, and to feel empowered to make their voices heard and to know their voices matter. After all, government doesn't belong to elected officials like me, nor the people that work in that office. It belongs to the hardworking families who pay their taxes, support their communities, and sometimes need help from government at no fault of their own. Most of all, I want public service to be a career choice for more young people. I want to see it as a path for service to others, a way to contribute to building stronger communities and an even better city. I can tell you from my experience, it's been a very fulfilling career so far. So thank you for this opportunity to share the lessons I've learned, our vision for the city clerk's office, and now I look forward to hearing from all of you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Clerk Valencia. Some very challenging ideas, and we have questions. If anybody has a question, I see there's several up there. Latrice and Alex Hawley from our staff are circulating around. Just hold your question up, and it'll come up here. Meanwhile, we have a couple of questions that came in using our City Club website and database system. This is from Mark Lovelace, who's a member of the City Club. affiliated with a group called the Coalition for Justice and Respect. The question is, what accountability does the city clerk's office have to transparency to Chicago residents?
Well, I think that's kind of the basis of the speech you heard about the civic engagement piece. Often when we're out in the community as city government officials, elected officials in our capacity, and Andy knows this so well, there are still people in our city don't feel included. They don't feel part of the process. And so what we want to do in the city clerk's office is just, you know, open the doors wide open to our city council chambers, to our meetings, and to the government, embrace it. And so I often tell young people, you know, it's great, protesting, and we have to, but we also have to participate in our government. We have to get ourselves in those rooms. We have to change what the dynamics of the rooms look like and the perspectives they carry. And, you know, that's one way I think we really need to hold our government accountable, especially just getting involved in civic engagement. And I could go into more of the boring details, but that's overall really what we want to do in the city clerk's office.
Thank you. This is from Nikki Giancola, who's with the State Treasurer Mike Furyk's office. He's a speaker to the City Club. Nikki, I see you're not a member. Come on, $50, you'll become a member. Not, we'll have to drop a note to the treasurer. Anyhow, here's the question. What made you want to be city clerk? Beyond the mayor asking you.
Well, if you knew me in high school, my mom can attest I was student council president of high school and president of my sorority, and these leadership opportunities came, and I just said yes. And I really said yes to president of the sorority because I got a free room and board. But, you know, when I got into politics at a young age, I was 28 managing Senator Durbin's campaign, and I told this story at Chicago Ideas Week Monday night. But I was asked by Senator Durbin to go to this meeting, and I was so excited. We were planning the 2014 Democratic Coordinated Campaign, and I was prepared and organized, and we were taking the lead on building this out. And I got in the room, and I looked around, and I was the only woman and woman of color. But Senator Durbin did something so great for me at that one point that it's so important for us as leaders in this room to remember to be intentional about. As we were going around, and it was the governor and the Speaker of the House and the Senate president and the senator, he said, "Anna, run the meeting." And I ran it, and I looked at myself so different as a leader at that point. I got the self-confidence as a leader. I felt empowered as a leader. And so when opportunities kept coming up, I worked towards those opportunities very hard, but I said yes. Because there needs to be more women at the top, there needs to be more people of color in these rooms, and if I don't keep saying yes, we are not going to have representation. This has been a passion of mine for the last 4 years, is empowering women to go for it. And so when this opportunity came up, I actually originally had said no. I didn't think I wanted to do it. I thought I could be more effective behind the scenes and running policy that way. But it was actually my husband and a few friends that really pushed me and said, you know, you're pushing everyone else, but you don't see you pushing. So I am so grateful and honored, and I'm so happy I said yes, because there needs to be more leaders at the top. There needs to be more in our political movement and in our civic leaders as well. And that's something I'm very passionate and want to bring others along as well on that ride. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, this question is from Jessica Catlin with Advance Illinois. Jessica, where are you? Back there on our left over there. Oh. The question is, you've impacted immigration, voting, a whole host of other issues. She wants to know, since she sees you as a superwoman, what can you do to help education?
This is a great question. Education has been such a passion of mine, and I'm so thrilled Senator Andy Menar and others got education funding formula passed and signed by the governor. Finally, 3 years in the making and decades before. And thank you, Advance Illinois, for leading the charge on that. But, you know, I talk about where I grew up. I had high school, great high school experience. But when I got to college at U of I was culture shocked. There are people that had AP classes. I didn't even know what AP class meant. They were already sophomores with credits. They had rock climbing walls, swimming teams. I didn't know what lacrosse meant. I mean, these are things that I was never exposed to. And growing up, you know, really we've got to talk about education as a poverty and socioeconomic injustice. Because as Granite City is losing people, they're leaving, the jobs are leaving, they're losing their property tax value. Same thing's happening on the south and west sides of Chicago. We're losing tax base for what's supposed to be for our education. And so we can't get a head start. I could not be here if I didn't have a wonderful public education, a public high school, a public university, give me MAP grants and financial aid to make it through and the extra safety nets that I needed. I couldn't get that. And when I looked to try to get a master's or try to go to law school, there was no way I could do it. I couldn't take on that debt. I had to marry that debt, but I couldn't take it on. In all very seriousness, this is the crisis of a lifetime. This is our crisis. Our kids can't get into college, and they can't finish college. And when they get out of college, we're strapped with so much debt that we can't buy a house. My husband and I bought our house 2 years ago, and that was by the grace of God. We can't own homes because we're stuck with student loan debt. So this is a problem that starts before kindergarten all the way through college, and it is it's a crisis, and as leaders, we've got to keep doing more.
Thank you. And Anna didn't even mention the addition in their household, the dog, Jazzy. Ray, that's probably your job to walk the dog, right? Okay. This is a quickie. It's from Lisa Ryan, City Club member. Lisa, where are you? Okay. She wants to know, she's from the second ward. Are there any plans to expand your satellite offices on the south or north sides of Chicago?
Yeah, we would love to. And we're exploring that now with our budget constraints, you know, of the resources we have, but we would love to do that. And also, you know, there's so much that we can do with technology, and also we're also exploring, so my team will get mad at this, but there are some locations where we are at that we charge like a $5.50 convenience fee, and it's not conducive for our residents. So we're trying to find ways, whether it's technology or actual locations, with maybe working with aldermen and others, similar to what we do on the second ward, to provide those locations. And so we are working. We see that. We know it. We want to make sure that we're being accessible. Our ward sales right now, we expanded them an extra month. So we went May to July, and we're looking at how we can even expand those throughout the year and offer multiple services. So if we're coming to sell your city sticker, great to get your dog license too, or now your Muni ID, or even asking our residents, what services do you need? So what are people looking for? So if we're coming to do our ward sale, do the seniors need access to our Department of Aging? And we bring them along with us. If people are going to come and buy a tax, pay for a tax, let's give them the other resources we have. Because when I talk to residents, they're like, I didn't know there was a senior discount, or I didn't know there was a veteran discount, or I didn't know. So we've got to, as government, get out of our little boxes of what we used to do and think about being innovative and being directly servicing our residents where they are, where it's convenient, their libraries, their churches, Tuesday nights, Saturday mornings, when people are able to get the services they need.
Thank you. This question relates to your Model City Council program. It's from Dina Giacometti. Dina, where are you? Okay, back there. She's with the Chicago Citywide Literacy Coalition. Is there room in the Model City Council model to create a model, three times she uses that word, to create a model for adult education students?
I love this idea. I was actually at LSNA and SWAP, and we were talking to parent mentors, and someone asked me, because I was talking about Model City Council, they're like, we would love to have a Model City Council for our parent mentors. And a lot of adults that don't also feel included in city government, just like our students. And I think sometimes we forget the parent piece, because There are a lot of parents that are striving for their kids. There are a lot of Joe and Debbie's out there that would love the opportunity to also come into the city council and learn how to build coalitions in their neighborhoods and be plugged in with organizations that may be doing that work in their neighborhood as well. And so I love that idea. We also got a great idea from some of our youth to actually have our college students help mentor the high school students. So bring our college students that are, you know, they're probably Chicago scholars, first generation, and they know a little bit more about what it's like because they're already at the college. So bring them into city council chambers and empower them to lead the next generation of young leaders. So we are super excited. We are having our first convening in November, and we're hoping early next year to have this launch. And so next year when I come, I can give you guys an update on where we're at.
Thank you. And you're booked for next year, by the way. Okay. This is from Katerina Panagopoulos, who's a City Club member affiliated with the Wintrust Bank. We appreciate their support for the City Club. How much of the city's federal grant funding is really at risk of being pulled as Chicago remains, as it should, a sanctuary city?
Well, right now, thanks to the mayor and our legal counsel, none. I think the mayor just said today that the judge ruled again on our lawsuit with the other welcoming cities and sanctuary cities that we will not have our grants taken away at this time for continuing to be what we should be, a welcoming city. And there are others out there. And this municipal ID program, when we're talking about it, we're not the only cities doing it. Phoenix, Milwaukee, Oakland County, Boston's now doing it. There are other places in red states, may I remind you, that are doing this concept. And so I think it's amazing. You're going to see more local government leaders, and especially our mayor and myself and others, standing up to this president and making sure that actually, you'll probably see local government play a bigger player because we have to. We are the safeguard and the last safety net for our residents.
Great. Anna, you talked about rolling out the municipal ID later this year. Mm-hmm. How do you propose getting that out to the people in the city of Chicago? How would, you know, people here who are residents, the mailbox, or are they going to have to come to City Hall?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. You like set me up for that question. Great. So we are actually we're getting technology that's going to be mobile printers. So we're coming to you. So we are going to come to your neighborhoods, your places you worship, your community organizations, because we know that right now people don't trust government and they don't want to come into our offices. So we want to go out to you and we want to build that trust with you, with people you already, you know, trust, whether it's your faith leaders or your nonprofits that you are, or your libraries or places you gather. So we envision we are going to be on site delivering this ID. And then I want everyone to know there's a common misconception that this is only for immigrants, but it's not. These are for all Chicagoans. And in order for this to be a successful program, I expect each and every one of you to sign up, because it'll be super easy, I promise. And please support it, because that is the most important thing, is making sure that people feel connected, that we're all one Chicago, and I stand with my neighbor, and that it's not about any labels of whether you had served time, you're homeless, you might be undocumented, or a domestic violence survivor.
Thank you. You might want to consider, for a City Club luncheon, having a sign-up table out here and after our program. We have a captive audience here. We'll get them to sign up. Okay. This is from City Club member Tristan Slemons. Tristan, where are you? Way in the back. Okay. What do you believe is the biggest benefit you have as a Latina in office?
So one, I think, and it's been hard for me to kind of accept this. But you know, when I'm talking to young women, I was actually, either whether you're Latina or Black or Asian, but when I talk to young women, I really understand, it takes me back to where I was. And I kind of really understand their journey. And actually, Tristan invited me to go to a WOW Circle. So I went to a WOW Circle at Julian High School. And we started talking, and they asked lots of questions, and we started talking about what they wanted to do, where they wanted to go. And these are young women. There's young girls. And I know we talk about the young men and everything happening on, but the young girls and this city is internalizing this violence so much, and they internalize it, and maybe it comes out in different acts, but we have to talk about the young girls too, because they are suffering as well. And I was so talking to this WOW circle and listening to what they wanted to do. And Monique actually on my team said, let's invite them up to city council. And so we invited them to city council, and we did lunch, and they sat in the alderman's chairs, and I actually had different women from my office come and speak to them about their journeys and their struggles. And really, we were open and honest with them. And when they left, I asked each one, what did you get from this? And they said, I want to be a nurse. I'm going to go find someone who's a nurse. I'm going to find a mentor. I need to find a mentor. I need to network. I need to go and ask people for coffee. And so I hope that I can continue and my team continue to inspire these young girls to see that it's possible, to see that they can break through barriers, they can break through those doors, they can get that seat at the table. And then when they do get at the table, they can have people like Senator Durbin or myself empower them at the table. And so that's what I hope, but not even just as a Latina woman, but to other young girls that are aspiring to do the same thing.
Well, thank you very much. And I had two questions up here, one from Saul Flores with La Casa Norte. Saul, where are you? Okay. And Ana Villarreal, who's with the Boy Scouts of America. Both questions, I think you just answered them. So they would like to say thank you for addressing those questions. Great mind here. Okay. Our final question from City Club member Graham Grady with the Taft Law Firm. Why were they laughing? They know you, huh? Graduate of Von Steuben High School, by the way. What's your favorite part of the job, in addition to getting paid every other week?
Okay, so I think if you haven't, some of you know me, but probably from my speech, people. People are my favorite part. You gotta like people to like this job. You get the good, the bad, and ugly, but when you get the good, oh my gosh, it just fills you up. It's the incredible stories. It's the people in the city that give me hope. It's our next generation of leaders that give me hope. And sometimes I'll have coffees with some other women. They're like, how? Like, the national, everything's burning down. And I'm like, yes, everything is burning down. But locally, we can do so much here in our backyard that we can control and have direct impact on people's lives. For public service, it's about people's lives. It's about giving them opportunity. It's about making people's lives better. It's about helping our small business owners get higher and higher. It's about our kids getting opportunities and see themselves here one day. I don't want to keep being the second woman to hold a position or the first Latina. I want to celebrate when we have the 50th and the 100th, and it's not a news story anymore. That's what I want to celebrate. And so this, for me, is all about the people, and I love my job every day, sometimes less every day, but but I love my job. It's an honor. It's an honor to serve. I know God placed me here for a reason, and I'm going to do the best I can for all of you. So thank you so much for having me again.
Don't go.